The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter with Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson.
We are here for another final hooter on lovewobbly.com. Thank you very much to Radio General for letting us use the studios. Parky, are you okay?
I am. I'm not too bad, Adrian. What about yourself?
I'm okay. I'm not bad. I've got no rugby fatigueness just yet.
To be fair, neither have I.
We're in the home straight of the regular season before we hit the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not getting tired of it either. I did six games on Friday,
six,
you know.
Six games on Friday?
Yeah, that was the Champion Schools. Over at Victoria Park.
Was you playing?
Oh, no, I was commentating. No.
Oh, okay.
I had to use a lot of words. I had to use some long words as well.
And you're also backed it up as well with the Challenge Cup ladies semi-finals.
Got to say, that was a superb game. I think it's in my top three of the season so far, I thought. Wow. Really, really good performance by both sides. And St Helens were missing both the regular number seven and the regular number nine. Tara Jones is off with the Lionhearts at the moment, and currently... Faye Gaskin is at a wedding, so she couldn't avoid that, unfortunately for her. So Leeds are also missing Lewis Forsell, who's a real go-to player for them. So it was a real tight tussle, chances both sides of the coin. Saints actually charged into a 10-4 lead,
right,
after about 60 minutes. So they scored like the first try, kicked the goal, and a couple of penalties. Leeds got underway early doors in the second half, and then scored a cracking try in the corner. Courtney Hill, who we'll hear from in just a few minutes, she threaded the eye of a needle with a kick to the corner, and Sophie Nuttall dived on it in that corner to score 4 points. Hill then steps up from the touchline and converts to make it 10-10, and you're thinking, oh, this is going to extra time. Saints had other ideas. About 3 minutes later, they're in the 20. Ball's back to Beth Stott, who's filling in at seven. She thinks, I'm going for a drop goal. Pressure comes at her. The ball really gets above, about 3 or 4 foot from the ground because of the pressure that was being put on her at the drop goal attempt. Caitlin Beavers, the fullback for Leeds, takes it at the back, goes 95 metres downfield, scores under the post. Heartbreaker.
Heartbreak for St Helens,
successful lead.
Adam Cuthbertson was happy.
Oh, he was a real happy bloke at full time. But we're not going to hear from Adam.
No, we're not.
We're going with player reactions. So I got the chance to chat with Courtney Hill after the game, and this is our conversation.
I'm delighted to be in the company of Courtney Hill. Courtney, I'm catching up with you in the aftermath of what's got to be one of the best games of rugby league that I think I have ever witnessed. A win for your Leeds team by 16-10. Talk us through it.
Well, you say it was one of the best games to watch. I think it was one of the best games to play in. It wasn't a flashy, terribly high-scoring game, but if you're talking about two teams going at it with both teams with big hearts, I think that's pretty spot on for that sort of a match.
There was an awful lot of quality on show for both sides. I was chatting to the St Helens coach before, who reckoned his side were completing at one stage of about 85%. I think at one point your stats would have been up at that sort of level as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, you never win big matches on the back of poor completion. So really pleasing here. Both teams had a good completion rates today. Just goes to show you do that and you get a kick away. And it turned into a right grind. And in any finals, I suppose that's what you want. Good games ground right out to the end hooter. So
so this is your second year at Leeds. Give us a little bit of a background to how, first of all, you got to be playing rugby league here in England, because I can tell that's not a Leeds accent.
No, it's not. I'm working on my Yorkshire accent. but, yeah, obviously arrived here in Leeds last year. My partner lives over here. So, it was time for a new sport, and Leeds it was. And the club welcomed me in. Obviously had to, as a new sport, I learnt a lot on the go and on the run, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity they've given me. It's days like today, you look around and, you know, with a wonderful crowd in like this, and sometimes you just take that moment to be present and realise, you know, you're on the other side of the earth with a brand new team at a wonderful match like this today with people who are just so passionate about the game of rugby league. And they're really special moments that I'm enjoying over here in England.
Do you sometimes start to pinch yourself?
Yeah, I do. I do. I do pinch myself. And I think today is wonderful that these Saints, you know, they get us access to a first-class pitch like this. I really did pinch myself today. I had my family here from Australia. It's the first time they've been over, first time they've got to see a rugby league game that I've been playing in. I could hear my mum shouting from as I was taking some kicks and what have you. I had to sort of wipe that from, you know, be quiet, mum, for a second there. But, you know, it's really wonderful that I got to share today with them.
It would be fair to say you were involved in a couple of the real key moments. I mean, that kick into the corner for the try, and also your goal kick as well. I mean, how do you keep your cool when you've got something like that to do?
No, I think you just got to go through processes, don't you? And I think as a halfback, that is my job, to stay composed and keep the girls going. We know that anything can happen right up until the last hooter. So it was interesting, you know, when Soph Nuttall scored in the corner over there. Ellie Frayne grabbed me and she said, "Now take your time for this kick." Like I needed reminding or anything that the kick was important, let alone 2 inches in from the paint on the sideline. So, yeah, I was really stoked to get that one. I mean, I missed one early and I just thought, this is where you've got to stand up for your team and make up for the poor goal kicker. I missed one early. So, yeah, in those moments, you just go through the process, do everything you do on whatever given day. It's always the same.
And what a way for the game to be decided as well. I mean, an attempted drop goal, bit of a flapper, ends up going into the arms there of Caitlin Beavers, who showed like tons of pace.
Yeah, yeah. So Beavers is, you know, she's got those in the bag. Sometimes she'll run that 100-metre breakaway. I knew when she, I don't know, she was on about the 30 line, and I knew if she beat them, no one was going to catch her. So, and I was really pleased she headed straight under the sticks, because I didn't want another one from out on the paint. But no, that was a brilliant moment, and you know, she pulled it out of the bag exactly when we needed it today. So,
a fitting way to decide a great game like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, good for the crowd. I mean, unfortunately, the Saints fans are on the back end of it, but they were with, you know, the Saints fans were with their team the whole way through to the end. And I always say it, regardless of whose supporters they are, they're rugby league supporters. And it was a brilliant atmosphere, and a breakaway try like that, you know, gives the crowd something to cheer about, doesn't it? So,
and another final for Leeds.
Yeah, another final. I suppose it's nice to be there again to defend our trophy that we won last year. The girls in there, you know, are pretty chuffed that we're heading back, and really impressed with the way the RFL have gone about setting up this finals day. It would have been, you know, we would have kicked ourselves not to be a part of it. They've put a huge amount of effort into making this a really special event. I'm not sure who's won the other game. I could probably have a good guess. So we've got a really good couple of weeks coming up at training, and we're just, you know, so excited to be a part of such a special day in a couple of weekends' time.
In the vagaries of rugby league, you're coming up against the same team again in a couple of weeks. What will be your thought process for that one?
I know. We host them at Headingley. So it'll be a little rematch. But again, another, you know, another moment where our clubs are getting behind us, and we'll play the curtain raiser for the men. It will be a repeat. So fingers crossed we have a repeat result. Maybe we'll just make it a bit easier on ourselves.
I'm looking forward to the time when a women's game won't be a curtain raiser. It'll be the main event.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, days like today show that it was the main event, and we're getting people. There is an audience for the game. People over here, they just love rugby league, don't they? And regardless of who's playing, like if it's, you know, the under-19s academy squads, they get great people at numbers out to watch it. The PDRL groups, you know. Curtain raiser days are wonderful, but the day we can have a few thousand just, you know, to watch the women and beyond a few thousand, I can tell you I probably won't be playing then, but I'll certainly be one of the few thousand in the crowd. But it's growing. I'm just so happy to be a part of it and keep the ball rolling for a great game over here.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General. The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, The Final Hooter with Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson.
The thoughts and words of Courtney Hill. One thing that struck me in that interview, by the way, the fact that she said she came to the UK to try a new sport. And I was thinking, what was you playing back in Australia then?
I know, and that's
if it wasn't rugby league, what was you playing? Is it Aussie rules? Did you have women's Aussie rules over there?
That's one question that I didn't ask. I'll have to ask her next time.
Was it swimming?
I don't know.
Volleyball?
I don't know. I'll ask her next time. All right, stop rubbing it in. Okay, it's the one question I forgot to ask.
Anyway, well done to Leeds Rhinos. They've made the way to Bolton to be in the Women's Challenge Cup final. But who are they playing?
They're playing against Castleford Tigers, who have really been setting the standard this year. Top of Super League, they dispatched Wakefield Trinity 100 points to nil in the other semi-final. And I know...
Close game then.
I know Wakefield's took a lot of stick about this. But I've got to say, you know, that they're brand new to the Super League. They're stepping up to this level of competition for the very first time. Mm. And if you went back 2 years, Castleford were getting beat by similar sort of scorelines.
Yes.
So it just shows where you can go with plenty of dedication and development. But Castleford have some outstanding individual players. Georgia Roach, of course, the current Woman of Steel. And Tara Stanley, the fullback, who scored a hat-trick and kicked 10 goals. So there's some very good, speedy fullbacks knocking around in the women's game.
Mm, who's going to win it then?
I think it's an extra time on that.
Oh, all the way.
Mm, all the way. And I'm still not giving who I think is going to win it, because I don't know.
Sounds like it's going to be a good match.
I think it'll be a cracker.
Anyone who's going to the Challenge Cup semi-final, get there early for the Women's Cup final at 11:30.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're not going, then you'll be able to watch it via BBC Online, I think. I think they're covering it. So, it's going to be fantastic, that.
Good day out in Bolton. Hopefully it'll be as sunny there as it was last year.
Definitely, yeah.
Let's dip our toes into League One, shall we? It's all to play for, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, Whitehaven currently top of the table, 2 points clear of Newcastle. All the action got underway with round 14, though, from where we're catching up from. And I was over at Coventry. They were playing a game out of town at Broad Street Rugby Union Club. They hosted Doncaster, and afterwards I spoke with Doncaster coach Richard Horn in the wake of their victory.
Well, Richard, all things considering, having to swap players around, third game in the space of a week, pretty good victory, 54 points to 10 here at Coventry.
Yeah, very pleasing, you know, on the back of the week that we've had. We spoke about finding energy. At times we looked a little bit flat and didn't really have the energy in there, but we had enough fresh legs out there to help us get that result.
Some great strike as well. Tartley scores a hat-trick. It looked like you've got a finding Lawton on the wing as well.
Yeah, Kieran's got a lot of pace. He's young, he's only just turned 17. He had a good debut at Sheffield, so warranted keeping him his spot. Made a couple of errors today. He's got to learn to be confident on the back of an error. You know, he made back-to-back errors, so again, you can see it was playing on his mind. So he'll learn a lot from that. And again, we'll keep working with him throughout the season. Just really pleased to get the result and... Because it was a worry, you know, on the back of two tough games, and the fact that they've turned over like Newcastle, the likes of them, you know, so we knew they had a performance in them. Glad we got them early tries and got a bit of space on the scoreboard early.
It was a professional performance, really.
Yeah, look, we spoke about it. We made a couple of errors sort of towards the back end, pushing a few passes and. Again, that last try was a disappointing one, really, to concede. But it was just tired legs and probably a little bit of overplaying. We can accept that a little bit. But the job's done. We spoke about it. Let's get down here with, like I say, the conditions, how they were, us fatigued a little bit. It was all about getting the 2 points for us to climb that ladder.
And being able to bring Richard Owen back in must be pleasing, because I think I was speaking to a few fans a few weeks ago, and it was sounding like he was going to be out for some time.
Yeah, it was, and the scan came back all good, really. It was just a bit of time. It just needed to heal and a bit of bone bruising and just stretched a few ligaments. So it was a bit of rest. Also, as well, he's just had a little one that he's just had some time with. So we give him like a week off and that, because she lives out of town and that, so... he had a bit of time off for that as well, so yeah, we put him in as nine. It was more of a conditioning session for him to be in there, make some contacts, get some minutes under the belt for him moving forward.
Does this set you up, speaking of moving forward, for moving forward over the rest of the campaign now?
Look, we've got now, I think there's 8 games left after this one now, and we know that we probably aiming, we have to win all 8 if we've got any chance of getting the top spot still, but if not, we just want to be as high as we can in the league. So we get, again, we like to play at home. It's a really good ground for us. So we want them ties to be home fixtures, and that's the goal for us now.
Richard Horn, Doncaster coach. I'm going to say it before you even shoot me down and call me for putting pressure on Lee Radford, right?
Oh, you're not doing this again, are you?
I am. I'm sticking with it. Future Hull coach.
It's every other show, mate.
He is. Well, stop playing these interviews and I won't mention it.
Lee Radford's sitting 3rd in Super League at the moment. You can't go putting pressure on him like that.
But they win games. They win one game and they're losing 50 points the next game.
Well, yeah, they have had a couple of hefty losses this season.
A couple?
A couple, yeah.
They lost that heavily last week.
They did? Okay. Don't rub it in. I tell you who else lost heavily last week.
If you want to stop saying it, don't be playing Richard Orme.
I tell you who else lost heavily last week.
Sorry, Richard. Go on, what?
West Wales. They were hosting Doncaster. Oh, so right. So that's 2 big wins in succession, right, in League One as far as Doncaster are concerned. It's moved them up to 4th in the table now, those 2 victories and a whole heap of points. They were struggling a little bit on point difference, but it would be fair to say the last 2 weeks have really improved that. So other wins in Round 14 for Whitehaven against London Scholars, Newcastle against Workington, North Wales against Keighley, and Oldham beat West Wales 56-6. In Round 15, there was wins for Newcastle against Hunslet. Big result there. Big result here as well. Coventry winning on the road at London Scholars. North Wales are going about things really, really quietly at the moment. They're creeping up that table. They're getting ever closer to those playoff positions. They defeated Workington by 30 points to 18. And Whitehaven, top of the table, defeated Oldham 16 points to 10.
I tell you who's going about the business really quiet. No one's really mentioning them. Is Newcastle Thunder.
Well, they had that dreadful start to the season, didn't they? Fired the coach. Dennis Bexter's gone in there.
Simon Finnegan
as well. And the results have turned around, haven't they, somewhat?
Need to get promoted, don't they?
I think they do. I think that if you were talking about pressure and trying to put pressure on
Hull. No pressure, Simon.
I think there's pressure there at Newcastle, isn't there, to get them promoted.
They've got to get promoted from
League One. They're playing some good stuff at the moment as well. I mean, I think it was 26-12 against Hunslet at the weekend, and that's no mean feat because Hunslet are a pretty good defensive unit.
It's a very tough division, that one, isn't it?
It is, yeah, on the quiet.
It's a tough old league.
And it's one where I think there's only us in rugby league who are talking about it, really. I'm quite pleased. I think there's us on the Coventry podcast who talk regularly about League One.
There is a team that should be playing higher rugby league, Coventry.
I like what they do. I have to admit, went over to their temporary base at Broad Street the other week. What a beautiful setting that is. It's a rugby union club that's set in about 6 or 7 acres of land.
Nice.
It is gorgeous. I mean, I think the 30 degree heat helped as well, to be honest. Mm. But even so,
A heat wave in Coventry, I'm amazed.
A heat wave in Coventry. Yeah, you missed it. You would have been in your shorts.
I would have had me, yeah.
You would have had your vest on as well.
No.
Knotted hanky on the head and everything. Okay, maybe not. That was me.
Have you been looking through my old photos? Back in the day. Should we move forward and talk about the championship?
Why not?
Because that's getting tasty as well.
It is getting tasty, yeah. I mean, last week, for example, the results saw Dewsbury defeat Barrow, Featherstone defeat Lee, York win on the road at Sheffield, which is a great result for them. What about this one as well? Swinton 20, Batley 18, Toronto 34, Halifax 12. Halifax putting a pretty good performance up really against Toronto and just ended up falling away in the latter stages, I think, of that one. Although they did score 2 tries around about the hour mark. Bradford defeating Toulouse 26-24, and Widnes having a good win in the end against Rochdale. What did you think of that?
You mentioned Bradford the week before they saw off Widnes 62-0, and despite that, everyone would be thinking 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10, 12 out of 10.
You'd think so.
Bravo, well done, Bradford. Not John Keir. Oh, no, not John Keir.
What did he think then?
Well, he thinks he's a 9 out of 10.
Only 9? Well, where's the other point come from? Where's he got to the other point from?
Should we hear what he says about it?
Yeah, let's have a hear.
It's been a 9 out of 10 afternoon for us here at the Bulls. You know, it'd have been 10 out of 10 if we hadn't picked up any injuries, but it's been 9 out of 10. and you've got to credit the players for their effort, their application, the intensity and the focus in that game, and compliment them for that. We felt as if the cards were stacked in our favours, because obviously Widnes had been in a quarter-final game on Wednesday night and played really well in that game. Mm. And obviously, I think they'd invested a lot of energy and emotion into that game. And we felt we had to, if the cards are stacked to your favour, you've got to take advantage of it. And how you do that is by starting strong, playing quick, and being intense and focused. And that's what they did.
And from the coach's eye, what was the pleasing aspect of the whole performance?
Well, it was just pleasing that we come together as a team. I think we looked well with ball in hand. I thought the end of our sets were really good by both halfbacks. But obviously, defensively, we were outstanding. And, you know, we really did restrict any chances that Widnes had. And they're a good rugby league team. They move the ball a lot. They ask lots of questions, and we're able to answer those. So very, very pleased in all aspects of the game, but particularly defensively, where it's a nil on the scoreboard.
You mentioned your halfbacks, and young Key certainly stood up to the test.
Yeah, he's a good... We've known how good this kid is, you know, and we haven't been able to get him onto the field for the first half of the season, and more than half of the season. But obviously, he's been out there the last few weeks and he's made a difference, there's no doubt about that. And he's a good player. And he takes a bit of this thing out of, you know, the attention paid to Jordan Lilly. So it allows Jordan to play a little more, and it allows young Brandon Pickersgill as well to play a bit more around the back. So his very presence, straight away, it makes the other's job easier. And I think he's fulfilling the potential that we've obviously seen in him and feel that he's got for the future.
And with the likes of him coming back in, it gives you a nice headache selecting the right two.
It does, yeah. I think it's always when you've played as well as that. You know, we've had Steve Crossley, our club captain, miss today through injury. So I don't know how I'm going to get him for next week. So that's a great problem to have, and it's a problem that's on the back of good performances, and that's exactly what any coach wants.
The performances have to raise up another level, because the race for the top five is really hotting up.
It is, yeah. It's going to be tough. You know, it's going to be difficult to get in the top five. But I think by the way the results look, I think Halifax are out of it now, really. They've just got a bit too much to make up to get in there. So that's one team put to bed. And obviously we play other teams in and around there as well. So we've got to make sure that when we do play them, we play them with the same purpose and application as we've played today. And if we do that, we'll have a great chance of getting that top five.
It was a good afternoon, but one major concern was Ross Pelletier. How's he looking?
Yeah, he's opened up his ligament in his knee, but one of the ligaments in his knee, but you know, he's icing it as we speak, so hopefully he'll be okay for next week. But that might be the way Steve Crossley gets back in the team. But you know, we'll assess him properly tomorrow. But at the minute, he's having his ice, his elevation of his limb, and obviously, you know, we'll try and get him on the field again for next week.
I suppose for you guys now, it's just one game at a time, and see what will be, what will be.
It is, yeah. It's week by week, and it's the old Kenny Dalglish, isn't it? We'll take the one game at a time and apply ourselves each time, and that's exactly what we're trying to do this coming week.
And if you match that, you'll be more than happy.
If we play like that, I'll be delighted. If we play like that every game, we've got 8 games left in the season. If we play at that level for the last 8 games, I'll be absolutely delighted, and we will be in the playoffs.
Big statement.
That is a big statement, isn't it? Have you managed to get that?
I have no idea.
That big statement out of John Keir.
That's a big statement. Can you do it?
I mean, at the moment, they're on the fringes, aren't they?
They're waiting for a slip-up, aren't they?
They're waiting for a slip-up.
Someone's going to slip up eventually.
Because currently you've got York City Knights, who are second, still doing fantastically well, with 28 points. You've got Toulouse on 26 points in third. Joint with them are Featherstone with 26 and Lee Centurions with 26. Bradford on 24. Now, the previous week to... I should say what also happened in that round 19 of the championship, there were wins for Toulouse 36-6 at Barra, Toronto 40 points to 10 at Batley, Featherstone defeated Halifax away 24-18, Swinton got a great victory again against Rochdale 36-28, Lee defeated Sheffield, and York defeated Dewsbury 24 points to 21.
Before we hear from John Duffy, what do you make of that story breaking out from Featherstone, with the coach now being the assistant coach at Leeds?
I think it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, I mean, we were having a bit of a chat before we went on air, and we were saying how, well, in a lot of respects, surely being a coach, even of a part-time club,
should be a full-time role.
It's still a full-time role, because you're putting lots and lots of hours in.
Yeah.
I mean, a precedent was set a couple of years ago. Do you remember Barry Eaton?
Yes, Barry Eaton did it.
Because he was on the coaching staff at Leeds for
a
number of years.
Leeds did it with John Wilkinson, didn't he?
been a there has been a precedent set before anyway. Mm. That's the fair thing to say regarding that. And you know, fair play to Ryan Carey. He's obviously looking after number one there, isn't he? And trying to make sure that he carries on being employed. And to be fair,
then Featherstone fans are a hard bunch to please. If results dip, they'll be on his back.
Oh, they will. But to be fair,
he'll be blaming that role at Leeds for it.
To be fair, it's kind of a natural progression, isn't it, for him, because he's been looking after a lot of those younger players anyway. I think they're up to about 15, 16 players that they've used from that Leeds partnership. Not that I'm complaining about it, to be honest. I know you've got a slightly different view, haven't you, regarding dual registration, but yeah, it was a interesting move, that one, for Ryan Carr and for Featherstone and Leeds.
Let's hear from former Featherstone Rovers coach, now coach of Lee, John Duffy.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Like that.
Yeah, I like that.
It just shows what a good competition, you know, this cup is. And everyone's in it to win it and go that out somehow. So, you know, we nearly got burnt there, but we've shown that we're a champion side and we managed to get the win. So I'm really happy for the boys, but I think we really underperformed. But you can't take nothing away from Barrow. They've had some great results of late. I thought Barrow were real tough. You know, they have been the last few weeks, and that's why they got the results they have. But we can be a lot better than we were there. Thankfully, there's a few boys that cup tied and rested tonight that will be fresh for Sunday that we can bring back in, because we lost McNally and Stephen Marsh there tonight. So we'll have to see how everyone pulls up tomorrow when we swim and recover.
We Greg McNally, what is it that he's done?
He's growing. I'm not too sure how bad it is. He's just coming back on. I'm not too sure how that will pull up tomorrow. Stephen has been struggling with his groin as well since he did it at home the other week. He's been playing injured. Obviously, we had to move everyone about. There's quite a few players playing out of position. Saints boys who came in did a great job for us. Young Josh in the centre there is going to be a great player. I'm just glad we got the win in the end there with a drop goal. And on another great pitch, and I'd just like to thank Saints for everything they've done in the week and showing us round and making everything, all the facility open to us this week to have a great occasion here, and the fans are great again. Massive stadium for us. Some of the boys once played on here before, so another big ground that we've played on. We have to get to that mentality as well, because you know, if we do get to where we want to get at the end of the season, it might take a drop goal and a scrappy game to get us over the line.
With some of the things you mentioned there, John, I mean, that was just real character building, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that's the kind of group we've got, and that's the way we trained in pre-season, because we had a short pre-season, so we had to train tough and take our bodies to places that they've not been before. And I think you've seen there with some of the lads, you know, going playing out of position as well. I think Corey was in centre at one point there, Toby in the centre.
Musical chairs at one point.
Yeah, really at full-back, which I know he don't like playing, so... just shows a character, like I say.
Who would you say were the outstanding players in that performance?
For us? I thought young Josh in the centre was great. I thought Uddy was good when he came on. Luke Douglas, same as ever. Really pinpoint anyone, really. Obviously, Riddy's come up with the points for us to get the win, but I don't really like singling anyone out, because we're a good team and that's the way we train.
That interview, by the way, was after the 1895 Cup quarter-final victory against Barrow.
It was 19-18, played over in St Helens, because Lee Sports Village wasn't available due to the regular pitch work that gets done every single year. Other results in the quarter-finals saw Doncaster lose 28-32 to Sheffield, Widnes Vikings come out on top against Dewsbury by 54-6, and a great result for Batley Bulldogs, 17-16, a late drop goal to knock out York City Knights away from home.
Right, we're at the semi-final stage of the 1895 Cup. Who is in it and who's playing who?
Well, the draw came out with Lee hosting Widnes. Now, that's going to be the second game to be played on the 28th of July. So that's a Sunday. The first game is Sheffield at home to Batley. It's to be shown at 2 p.m. Both of those live on the Our League app, by the way. So if you haven't already downloaded it, get it watched.
Yeah, because you're missing out on a load of action.
Oh, there is, yeah. They've been playing all sorts
League
of stuff.
Championship, women's rugby.
Exactly, yeah.
It's well worth downloading.
Definitely, it's free as well.
Right, get me phone out, where is it?
Okay, I'll talk you through it in a minute, Adrian.
Because you know what I'm like with technology.
I do. I was doing your emails before.
I'm not down with the kids. Who's going to make it to Wembley out of them four then?
You ask me this every single time.
I know, I'm asking you now.
I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I'll let you. I'll chuck it back to you. Who do you think is going to Wembley? See, there you go. You don't want to say either.
All right, then. I'm going to say, because I love Widnes, so I'm going to say Widnes. Don't want to be upsetting Kieran Purtle. And Sheffield.
You heard that, Duffs. Go and play that back in the dressing room.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Before we get out of it and you get me in trouble with John Duffy, let's talk Super League, shall we? Let's just say good luck to four teams and whoever gets enjoy your day at Wembley.
Yeah, I don't know why you didn't just say that in the first place, mate, to be fair. But yeah, anyway, back on Super League. Again, we've had two rounds since our last show.
We have, yeah.
Round 20 saw Castleford defeat London 42-10. There was the big Hull derby, Hull Kingston Rovers 18, Hull 10. I was surprised by that, to be honest. Leeds 31, Catalans 12, Wakefield 36, Huddersfield 10, Warrington 10, St Helens 21. That was a thrill-a-minute ride of a game, wasn't it?
Heck of a game.
And Wigan 28, Salford 12. They're starting to get into a little bit of form, Wigan.
Yeah, they are.
Round 21, Castleford 10, Leeds 18. Another win for Leeds. Catalans 44, Wakefield 10, Hull 12, St Helens 40. Ouch. That's what you were talking about.
Yes.
Putting that pressure on Mr Radford. London 6, Warrington 36, Salford 18, Huddersfield 36, good result that for Huddersfield. Wigan 52, Hull Kingston Rovers 10, ominously gathering that form, aren't they?
Yeah, Tony Smith brought down with a bang by Wigan.
Just a bit.
Wigan sneakily into the top four without anyone even talking about them.
I know. But then again, they have lost 10 games this season out of 21.
It's madness, isn't it?
It's nuts. Yeah, you've got Catalans also in fifth place, who've also lost 10 games out of 21.
And we're getting very... very quickly snapping up the talents of Jackson Hastings for next season.
Yeah, we'll see how he goes. He's been a big performer over the last 2 years at Salford, hasn't he? Good player.
All the talk about the coaches being settled, Adrian Lambstain to 2020.
Again, I think that'll have a real settling effect on the rest of the squad now.
Didn't see this story coming though, Dan Sargentson being released. Didn't see that.
Did you not? No. I was half expecting it, even being fair, because he's been sort of in and out of the team with injury this year, hasn't he? And I suppose maybe you look at him, maybe Lamb's got other ideas of what he wants his centres to do.
All the talking leads is maybe Richard Agar should get the job permanent.
Well, he's certainly overseen an upturn in form, hasn't he?
He's captain saying it anyway.
Yeah. I tell you what, Trent Merrin's really enjoying his spell in Super League as well, isn't he? So, I think he likes it over here. Do you think he'll get it?
Might do if he carries on the way they're going. He's got him out of trouble, hasn't he? And all of a sudden they're banging on the door for the playoffs.
wouldn't that be ridiculous? Everybody's been talking about Leeds for half a season as relegation fodder and they make the top five.
Wow.
That'd be the biggest story, wouldn't it?
That just shows you how poor Super League has been, hasn't it? You've got Warrington and St Helens out on their own.
Yeah.
Outstanding the rest. They've just been hit and miss.
They have really, you know, because Hull's won 12, lost 9. We've already said about Wigan losing 10 games. Catalans lost 10 games. Castleford still on the fringes of the top five. Have lost 11 games. Even Salford are out of it with only 9 wins this season. Wakefield have 9 wins. Leeds have 8 wins. So that's why we're saying they could go on a bit of a run and maybe crash that top five. And even at the bottom of the table, I reckon there's still a few more twists and turns to be had.
Next round, the Super League sees Wigan and St Helens go head to head.
It does.
And their fans are not happy. They're not happy because for the first time in 24 years, it's not on TV.
Hang on. I reckon in a parallel universe, there's Wakefield and Castleford fans also unhappy about this, you know.
I bet the clubs are happy because they get more fans in the ground buying the tickets to watch the game.
Surely now they'll get a sellout.
Should do.
They should do, shouldn't
they? Can't be blaming TV because it's not on.
No.
Have they branded it as Bad Friday?
Bad Friday as well, yeah.
Is that because it's not on TV or are they just saying it's bad?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know how that's come about. I think you might be onto something there, Andrew.
Anyway, the last time, it's been on ever since 1995, so it's going to be the first time since 94, 95 it's not been on.
Yeah.
So you know what we're doing? We're going to throw in a retro rugby league year on this Final Hooter podcast on loverugby.com. Thanks very much to Radio General for letting us use the studio as Jacko and Parky. Try and make some sense of the greatest game in the world.
Hashtag Jacko and Parky. Have you given us something else to be called?
This particular season, by the way, in 94 and 95, it was the 100th ever season of rugby league in the country.
It was.
What a centenary season it was as well. It was called the Stone Spitter Championship, 30 rounds, 16 teams.
So just home and away.
Home and away, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, champions were Wigan.
Inevitably.
Yeah, and they won everything back in the day.
At this stage, yeah.
Yeah, it was, like I said, 16 league team. They only lost twice all season.
I think Doncaster were in the top division this year, weren't they?
They were. They got relegated, mate. They only won 5 games all season.
Yeah, but Jamie Bloom started that season off in great, great form and then got banned.
This is the season, by the way, before it got restructured for the introduction of summer rugby.
So oh, right, yeah.
When Doncaster got relegated here, they didn't get relegated to the first division. Oh, no, rugby league. No, you're straight down to the second division.
No, that's because they went out of business and they had to start up again. Oh, so that was the reason why.
Right, anyway. A lot of teams were relegated in this particular season. Featherstone, Salford, Wakefield, Widnes, Holt, all consigned to the first division.
Interestingly enough, have a look at the second division.
We'll do in a minute.
Because do you not remember this is where London Broncos got promoted and didn't win it?
Yeah, didn't win it. Wigan were top, Leeds were second, Castleford third, St Helens fourth, Halifax in fifth in that particular season, Warrington sixth, Bradford Northern were in 7th, Sheffield Eagles were flying high in 8th, Workington were in 9th, Oldham 10th. How bizarre, Workington and Oldham and Sheffield finishing above the mighty Hull.
I know, yeah, it took Hull a couple of goes to get out of that second division as well, didn't
yeah,
it, eventually?
It did. You mentioned in the second division, London Broncos were promoted despite not winning it, and champions of the second division in that particular year were Keighley.
Yeah, it was Cougar Mania in full flow on that season.
Batley was second, Huddersfield third, Whitehaven fifth, Broncos fourth, like we said, Rochdale sixth, Dewsbury seventh.
All right, don't go any lower.
Bottom of Highfield.
Don't go any lower.
No, only because Lee were in 11th.
It was a dreadful season that year. Mm. Absolutely dreadful from a Lee fan's point of view.
If any new fans are listening to this podcast, I'm thinking, Highfield? He's mentioned Highfield, who are they? Runcorn Highfield.
Runcorn Highfield as original, yep.
Yeah. Only won one game all season. They finished bottom. I think they left Runcorn then to go Prescott Panthers, didn't they?
I think they did. They moved over to Prescott then.
Oh, were they in Wigan by that stage?
No.
They're in Runcorn.
They went over to Prescott shortly after that season.
Yeah. So it was Runcorn, then Prescott, and then out of business. There are one or two teams here that are no longer with us. Carlisle, Bramley.
Yeah, remember those?
So they're not with us anymore.
Such
Highton
a shame.
Had already gone, but there you go.
Highton had already gone. Blimey, you're going back there. Mentioned Highton.
York back in them days were called Rydell York, and Hull Kingston Rovers now in the Super League, 8th in that second division of that.
Yeah, they weren't particularly good when they first came out of the first division. They'd been relegated the previous season, if I remember.
Like we said, Wigan were the champions. Man of Steel.
Go on.
Dennis Betts.
I wonder what he said. Thanks for that.
Thanks, I had lots of energy. top point scorer, sorry Dennis. Top point scorer was Fran Obotica.
What a kicker he was.
Top try scorer, Martin O'Fire, he scored 53 tries.
Is that all? He could have had 60.
Yeah, the Regal Trophy wins were Wigan.
I think they defeated
Warrington,
didn't they?
10.
Yeah, I remember watching that game.
The Premiership Trophy winners were Wigan. They defeated Leeds 69-12. See where we're going with this
69-12
one.
In a final.
Yeah.
Wow. And to think that some people were having a go at Wakefield Ladies for conceding 100.
And guess who won the Challenge Cup?
Weren't Wigan, was it?
Oh, you know what? You know your rugby.
Oh.
You're right, it was Wigan.
Who did they beat? Leeds, I think, wasn't it?
30 yeah. points to 10.
30 points to 10, yeah.
Wow. What a season.
What a season that was.
And then we all went to summer rugby. And that was it.
Shorts and barbecue weather.
Yeah. Not.